Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Kurt Coy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Administration for Children and Families. Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. Kurt, I'd like to transition now and look towards the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your agency will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your office will evolve over the next, say, 3 to 5 years to meet these challenges?
Well, I think our office is evolving a lot, and that's principally as a result of a maturing workforce. You call it what you like, but the fact is retirees are on the rise within the federal government. And so how do we handle that kind of succession planning as you lay out training, lay out hiring schemes, and so on and so forth? So that's probably the biggest challenge as we're looking at how do we, in fact, ensure that our programs are done and done properly. Technology has to be one of those challenges. It also has to be the opportunity that technology is going to allow us to do things better, faster, hopefully more inexpensively, and to be able to leverage our assets across the board. And then finally, strategic hiring. How are we bringing in the right people? So we have a whole strategic hiring process that we have. As we transition to next year and the year after and the year after, I would suggest that in the near term, those are the kinds of things that keep me awake at night.
Two of those points were about your human resources. How do you ensure that your employees have the appropriate training and skills? And what is the organization doing to ensure that it has the right staff mix to meet the upcoming challenges?
Well, we're doing two or three things. We have a very robust training plan. In the past several years, we've seen well over 90% of ACF staff participating in some degree of training. And that can be extensive training. It can be online training for computer usages. But we've been very aggressive in trying to ensure that all staff have training opportunities. We also have taken a look at our training funds. We've fenced training funds, and we've made training part of all of our SES performance contracts. Training's important, and we're going to measure it. Senior staff are being held accountable for those kinds of training things. And so we're making that accountability and training on ensuring that we have this skill set. Trying to stand back and look at our hiring from a more strategic sense. And what I mean by that is in the days of past, if you will, if a Head Start program person left, then you would go look for another Head Start program person. But in reality, what you want is somebody who can read and write well, somebody can do analysis and strategic planning and so on and so forth. And what are those kinds of characteristics that we're looking for in our entry-level workforce as we move up the whole career path that we have? And so when you look at the human capital aspect of ACF, we've been very successful in retaining good folks. We've been very successful and been recognized for it. So we're looking at the kinds of skill sets that we're looking at when we hire people, once we have them, to ensure that we have training opportunities, and in some cases, training opportunities at the expense of other things, at the expense of perhaps travel, and perhaps even at the expense of hiring another person. Because for every $100,000 that you put into the travel kitty in round numbers, that's a person that you're not hiring.
Are there special steps taken to attract and maintain high-quality technical and professional resources?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is a strategic hiring process. And what we've done is we've tried to lay out and look at our workforce somewhat more strategically. If you look at the number of occupational codes or series that the Administration for Children and Families have, in round numbers, there are four occupational codes or series that account for over 82% of the staff at ACF. So if you manage those four occupational series and you do it well, the other 18% you can do on a onesie-twosie basis, on an as-needed basis as you go down the path. So we've created hiring schemes for those four occupational series and gone out nationwide and advertised for those jobs. and folks come in and they apply for these jobs, and we have panels from all of the programs that come in and interview them. And so then we end up ranking and rating these folks, and we may hire 20 of them at a pop or 30 of them, depending on what our budget looks like and so on and so forth. And there's a hope in the intent that we can almost take any one of these 20 or 15 or 30 folks and plug them into almost any program office within the Administration for Children and Families, and they'll be successful because they have the requisite skills to be able to do that. How do we keep and attract these folks? What we've had from entrance interviews as well as feedback from our process is we have things like student loan program. We're one of the few operating divisions within the department that has a student loan reimbursement program. We have a tuition assistance program. We have a leadership development program that is designed to develop high-performing GS-12s and 13s and 14s and 15s. And then finally, we have developed a culture, if you will, that we only hire, for the most part, there are exceptions like anything, but for the most part, we only hire at the 9, 11, 12 level. When we need to advertise for a GS 13, 14, or 15, we do that internally. And it forces two or three things. It forces that manager out there to say, wait a minute, you're not going to get your next GS 14 replacement off the street. It's going to be from that pool of folks that you see right now. So you better make sure that those folks are getting the training and the opportunities that they need. So we have a very robust program when it comes to those kinds of things.
Now, Kurt, earlier you mentioned the pending retirement wave. So specifically, how are you handling this situation, and what are you ensuring – what are you doing, rather, to ensure that the organization has the right mix as you move into these years?
Our workforce has shrunk about 10% over the past 5 years. We've often reported, as you look at the demographics and the statistics, and I do, but ACF remains, as you look at the Department of Health and Human Services as a whole, we're more diverse, we're more educated, and we're more experienced than HHS, and those are all good news things. The bad news is that in the next 5 years, about 50% of our non-supervisors will be eligible for retirement. That's almost double what the population of HHS is. Within the next 5 years, 75% of ACF supervisors will be retirement eligible. That's, again, way above any of the norms that you even read about in HHS or in the federal government as a whole. And so we need to take a look at those key issues, and we have been when we do succession planning. Because what we've seen is number one, we try and manage ACF as a whole. It's not managing as entities. And we haven't said, okay, you get 5 people, you get 10 people, you get 20 people, 30 people, 200 people. We take a look at ACF across the board, and we make serious management decisions on where we need to do that backfill. Because what happens is over the past 5 years, in round numbers, we've been able to replace about 3 people for every 5 that leave. And so if you take the leadership aspect of being able to manage the workforce and then bringing in the right folks at the entry level in those 4 occupational codes and series, and you focus on those, hopefully we'll be in a good place. Sometimes change is difficult, but we also look at this opportunity when it comes to the percentage of supervisors and non-supervisors who are retirement eligible. And then you stand back and look at the demographics of that. And in any given year, about 20% of those who are eligible actually do retire. But you don't know who that's going to be. That's the very frustrating part is you can't do succession planning based upon Bob and Mary and Joe and Susie and so on and so forth, because you're not even allowed to ask somebody when they're thinking about retiring. And so you have to do it on a more global sense, not on a more finite sense. That provides a little bit more of a challenge.
Kurt, you've had a very extensive and very successful career both in public service as well as in the private sector. So I'm curious, what advice might you give a person who is considering a career in public service?
Public service is an honor. As corny as it sounds, people ask me, well, why? What made you get back into the government? Well, the fact of the matter is public service really is an honor. And that public service is critically important to the way that you view your job. I would also suggest when it comes to young folks in government service, my advice would be curious. That's probably the one attribute that I value the most. Leverage those who go before you. Make sure that you get everything you can from them before they leave. Don't accept the status quo. It's one of the things that probably stereotypically government employees have their worst reputation, and that's the status quo. Don't look at things from a status quo perspective. And then finally, I would suggest that you celebrate what you do and how you do it and why you do it. Because if you're not in that shower in the morning thinking of all those things that you got to get done today, and if you're not driving home at night or going home at night going, I didn't get these things done today, I would suggest that you're not having fun. And maybe you need to look for something else to do, because at ACF, there's no way that you can't possibly not be challenged by the kind of work that we do.
That's fantastic advice. Kurt, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Tom and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both as a naval officer and now as at the Administration for Children and Families.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kurt Coy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Administration for Children and Families. My co-host has been Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.